Welcome to Extrology with your host and professional astrologer to the stars, Melanie.
Everybody out there, this is Melanie. It's Friday night again, and you're listening to Extrology. I would love to have some phone calls tonight. If you'd like to call in, I'm going to give you the phone number if you have a pen and a piece of paper. The number is 877-876-5227. And if we get so many phone calls that that line can't handle it, you can call in on 530-876-3222. The question of the day is going to be about power. Now, we talked about power last week. We were talking about people who are in control of us or exerting power over us. But tonight, I'd love to hear from people that are born between May of 1942 and June of 1949, and I'd love to hear if you have any actual power sources that are causing you problems in your life, like things that plug in your home or your car battery or anything like that, because I'm noticing that that's happening to me. And when I go on and I explain to you about Pluto opposition Uranus, I'm going to try to explain why that might be happening, particularly to those people, the people within 1942 and 1949. Now, in today's sky, we still have Mercury retrograde. It's at 6 degrees. So if you were born on June 28th, you have Mercury sitting right on your sun, meaning that this Mercury retrograde is definitely affecting you. Mercury turns retrograde 3 times a year. And it's not actually moving backwards. It just appears to be moving backwards. Every planet in the zodiac does retrograde except for the sun and the moon. And it, when you want to know what's going on with the retrograde, you look to see what sign it's retrograding in. And this time it is actually retrograding in the planet in the sign of Cancer. So in general, Mercury rules what you think, how you perceive things, any kind of communication or contracts, commerce, education. It affects people that work with their mind because Mercury is mental, like writers or commentators or people on the radio. Also, anybody that does any kind of public speaking. And it also particularly affects Virgos and Geminis because they're ruled by Mercury. When it does go retrograde, some of the things you might expect to happen is a breakdown with your phone, your computer, any kind of transportation, buses, cars. And the reason will usually be that some crucial piece of the component isn't working. Usually that's what creates the problem. I'm going to tell you about a few problems I have in a few minutes. Because of it being in Cancer, it's more emotional, this retrograde, and very much has to do possibly with things in your home that may have trouble with communication in the home. Sometimes even domestic disturbances can happen with Mercury retrograding in the sign of Cancer because that rules the home. And also, if you have a home business, you might find that it has some effect on that too. So those are the areas you might find this Mercury retrograde affecting you, and it will be in effect for a little bit longer. It's about 3 weeks, 3 times every year. I'm going to tell you what happened to me this morning, because last time we talked about Pluto and people who have Pluto aspects and consequently are controlling people, are people that are hard to deal with because they always want to be in control. This morning I woke up and I turned on my computer, which I do almost every day, and this day I find out that my keyboard isn't working. 2 weeks ago, I had no power at all on my computer. A week ago, my car battery died. And then there was this other thing that happened at work. I rented to some people at my old job. We still have a lease there, even though the office is closed. And I got a call from work, from these people working there, my tenants, and they told me that there was a $4,000 bill outstanding that belonged to the company that I used to work for that is no longer in business. Well, that's a problem because there's no business, there's no money, there's no way to pay it. And there's three tenants down there that are dependent on electricity. And apparently we have DWP, which is our electrical and water source in Los Angeles, is going to shut off the electricity in 3 days. So again, here's the same theme of power that's happening. And I'm wondering why everything that seems to have something to do with power, because I'm looking at my chart and I don't really see anything. It took me almost 2 weeks to resolve this. It turned out the power really wasn't power that we had used. It was power that a tenant had used. But it took a lot of my time. And, of course, I was very upset because I thought, what am I going to do? I can't pay the bill. And I've got three tenants that are dependent on the electricity. And I called the mayor's office and I called the city councilman. And I called the DWP, and they were extremely unhelpful. But finally, after lots and lots of phone calls, I got it resolved. Okay, that was power. And then, as I told you, I've been talking about I can't get my website up. I'm having power struggles with people with my website. So I was looking at my chart, and I'm thinking, I'm an astrologer. I should know all this stuff. You know, I should know exactly that this is going to happen. And I noticed that Pluto, the one that's transiting in the sky, is opposition my natal Uranus. And that is also true for anyone born between the years of 1942 and 1949, especially those more towards the 1949, because Pluto now is in the higher degrees of Sagittarius, and those people will have their natal Uranus in the sign of Gemini. Now, normally we think of this as a generational aspect because it affects people over a 7-year period. We don't call these personal planets. We call these generational planets. But on the other hand, the interesting thing is it is affecting me personally. So that's why I have this question tonight. Is anyone else having this problem? I've had so many different things that have to do with the same theme. It always seems to be about power. Is it possible that these two generational planets are really having a very personal effect on me and my chart? I wonder, and I'd like to ask the people out there listening, do you notice anything like that going on? Now, if you have any other questions, any questions at all, I would also love to hear from you. You can ask me something about your chart. I'll be happy to do your chart for you. I have my computer here. I can pull your chart up and try to answer your questions using astrology. The reason I call it astrology is because I do three different things. I do sacred symbols, numerology, and, of course, astrology. The number you would call in on if you would like to ask a question, and I would, again, would love to hear from you. I don't really care what your question is. You can ask us about anything. Is 877-876-5227. Please give me a call. Cynthia, I hope you're out there tonight. I'm hoping that you call me because I did your chart for you. She's been my one and only caller so far, really. And I want to talk to her. So I hope you're out there, Cynthia. Give me a call anytime. We'll just stop and we'll talk about your chart and I can pick up where I left off later. Okay, so that's my story about Pluto opposition Uranus. Now let's talk about somebody in the news again. And that would be Paris Hilton. And the reason I want to talk about her again is because she was on Larry King the other night, and this was the first time I ever really got a chance to hear her talk. And I wanted to go over. We talked about it on one of my other shows. I think she's an interesting person. I don't know if anybody watched the Larry King, but after that, Anderson Cooper and some people on his panel criticized her a lot. And what I see when I look at Paris is somebody from an extremely dysfunctional family. And the reason I think that is because Paris has her moon, which is in the sign of Leo, opposing her Aquarius sun, her Aquarius Mercury, and her Aquarius Venus. So that's a lot of oppositions from the moon. In a chart, the moon is your mother and the sun is your father. So if the mother is opposing the father, you generally find a person who has a problem in childhood with how their mother and father relate to each other. And her mother appears to be making excuses for her. So I think part of Paris's behavior, besides being based on the things in her chart, is based on the fact that her family is not as functional as they want the public to think that they are. Now, here's some of her aspects in her chart and what they mean. She has a moon opposing her Mercury. This is the lack of honest self-expression, and it's because she assumes that she needs to compromise. So this is a girl that's been compromising a lot in her life. Now, why would she do that? Well, maybe because she's in an atmosphere at home where compromises are necessary. Maybe that's part of how she was brought up. And it shows in her natal chart that that would be true. With the moon opposing Venus, that says the mother was abandoned by the father. Now, apparently this mother is with the father, but there may be still some sense of abandonment. It is possible to be with someone and still have the feeling of being abandoned. It's when somebody isn't always there when you need them in the way that you need them. And strangely enough, this aspect says it's possible the mother felt some need to compromise. So Paris would have learned that from her also, from her mother. Then we have the moon, opposition sun, which again is the mother, opposition the father, and the split in the parental relationship. Now this happened before she was three, so sometimes when this actually happens, the person doesn't remember it. Something that happens before you're three, it's very much in your subconscious, you don't even remember it. Another question I have is whether or not her Mars is squaring Uranus, and the reason is because it's in such early degrees and I don't have her time. But if, in fact, she does have this aspect in her chart, it's defined as a need to hurt yourself through your sexuality. And we know that Paris did this this video, which is very hard for me to understand why anybody would do these things and how they get out and whether they're on purpose or whether they're not. So it may have something to do with that aspect in her chart. We know, for instance, we know on Larry King, this is why I thought this interview was so interesting. In fact, Larry King mentioned this, and I thought he had a good point. He said she's either guilty and sorry, or she's not guilty and she's angry. Well, Paris, in fact, seems to be not guilty, according to her, and sorry, which doesn't really make any sense. That's somebody, a lot of times, that we find is just trying to please people, trying to do what they want you to do and not what you want to do. I suspect that Paris really doesn't have a strong sense of identity yet. However, I do very much believe that she has made her own money. I believe that she wants to be independent of her family in that way because she's an Aquarius. And Aquariuses just do want to be independent. So even though she comes from a family with lots and lots of money, and according to the Larry King or the Anderson Cooper show, I can't remember, one of them said that she's going to inherit something like $100 million. But Paris doesn't want to be dependent on her family. She's an Aquarius. She wants to be independent, and she does make her own money. I suspect, actually, she's a very nice girl. Even though she does seek a lot of attention, she's turned it into a lot of money. I'm sure on some level we're all a little jealous about that. I think deep down inside this girl, there is a nice person in there somewhere. So the other thing I want to say about her, even though she has Saturn currently opposing all these Aquarius planets and sitting right on top of her sun because Saturn is, excuse me, on top of her moon because Saturn is also in the sign of Leo, and that is what put her in prison, is a Saturn opposing her Aquarius planets. It's the only thing in her chart right now that's really that bad. I think Paris is going to come out of this just fine. What she needs to think about is whether or not these structures that she's building are real structures, because when they're not real structures, at some point they are going to fall apart. At some point they will fall down. False structures cannot remain forever. However, I don't see the timing for Paris as being now. I think she's fine. I think she's going to go on and do lots of other good things, and her life is just fine. But I do believe she's building it on a false structure. You know, that's what people talk about, is the emptiness that is there, that she hasn't really done anything that has structure to it. So I worry about her a little bit, but right now I think she's okay. I think she'll be fine. I think she might want to look into her family relationship and how that has affected her life. But overall, I think she's a nice girl, and I just happen to really like Aquarian people anyway. I just think they're fun and they're nice. Cynthia, I hope you're out there. Give me a call. Let me just give you that number again, and then we'll go on to something else that happened in the news today. Please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you on any question, but especially the question of power sources in your life if you are born between May 1942 and June 1949. I would like to know if you have any actual TVs, cars, computers, flashlights, I don't care what it is, if it has a battery or a power source. Let me know if you have like more than one thing happening, like you're noticing some sort of a pattern, because that's what I'm noticing. I want to see if anyone else has it. The number is 877-876-5227. Of course, you're listening to the bbsradio.com. The number is on your screen. You can call in. Love to hear from you. Cynthia, I hope you're out there because I did a lot of work on your chart. Please call in. And I may just do your chart even if you don't call in, since I spent so much time on it. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about is, let me get to that, is what happened today with London. We had another London terrorist attack attempt. And I want to talk about why I think that might have happened. London is obviously a city and not a person. Most of us will never have Pluto return to it, the place it was when we were born, because it takes Pluto 285 years approximately to go around a chart. But when you have a country or a city like London, believe it or not, it has its own chart, and it's 816 years old. So it can definitely have that happen, and that is exactly what's happening with London right now. London has had Pluto return to the place it was when London was chartered. I believe they call it chartering for London. And that is a very scary time for a country. Pluto, again, is the planet of really serious things like death, destruction. It can be good things like rebirth, but it definitely, terrorists would fall under the auspices of Pluto. Now, when the attack happened in July of 2005, Pluto was opposition Uranus. We're back to that same thing that's going on in my chart. Believe it or not, London has Uranus and Gemini, just like all the people from 1942 and 1949 have happened. This is what can happen. Now, this is not a personal thing. In other words, what would happen and what we would expect to have happen is something like that, where a city and many people are hurt at the same time. It's a generational thing. It's a big thing. It's not really usually your computer going down. It's something larger, something on a social scale, some commentary on how we're living our life. And that happened to them in 2005 when they had the terrorist attack, and 52 commuters were killed and 4 suicide bombers were killed. At the same time they had that aspect, they also had their progressed Neptune conjuncting Uranus. And by the way, bombs are ruled by Uranus, so Uranus is definitely a bomb kind of thing. So that would definitely explain what's going on in London right now. What bothers me about this is that when your progressed Pluto sits on your natal Pluto, it's going to sit there for a very long time. If I were Tony Blair and I had an astrologer, I would never have gotten involved with this war in Iraq, because it's just the wrong thing for that country to be doing now. And that's why I think astrology is important. It's important about the timing in your life. You know what? Let's go to commercial right now, and let's hope that Cynthia calls in, and I'll be back to you right after this.
Not just astrology, extrology. For free astrology lessons, your own chart, a personal reading, or journey into self-discovery, go to extrology.com now or email Melanie at extrology.com.
Hi, we're back. Okay, let's go on to, we've got London here. We know what's going on in 2005. Let's look and see what's going on to London today, because that's interesting. We had another episode today. Now, I have to tell you something. I have seen bad charts, but this has got to be one of the worst. In my opinion, it's actually getting worse. It's not getting better. I'm really shocked they survived this today, and I'm predicting that this is not the end of it, because they're just getting more and more bad aspects. This is a worse chart than the one in 2005 when the 42 innocent people were killed and the 4 guilty people were killed. So London definitely has to be vigilant now, and that's why I think it's important to know what your astrological chart tells you. London, in my opinion, cannot take too many safety measures. They have one thing after another. I mean, let me just give you an idea. I don't know how much astrology you know, but listen to this, because it just sounds bad when you listen to it. The progressed Saturn, and I will tell you many times if you continue to listen to my show, that progressions are really what makes things happen. The progressed Saturn is conjunct the transiting Pluto, which is opposition the natal Uranus, and square the transiting Uranus. Now, all of those are malefic planets, and all of the things I just told you are considered bad aspects, except possibly a conjunction can sometimes be good. Generally, it's not, and it's certainly not if it's connected to an opposition or a square. And then, as I told you, Pluto, the progressed Pluto that actually has gone all the way around London's chart, is back on top of Pluto again. That just scares me. It's just not a good thing for London right now. London's got to be very careful. And then on top of this, it has the transiting Saturn opposing a Neptune. Square, natal Saturn. So, you have to know that just doesn't sound good for London right now. So if you're thinking about going there, you know, be careful. Take some precautionary measures. Maybe don't take public transportation. Once again, I know there's a few of you out there listening. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see if I could answer a question. I'd be happy to talk about just about anything if you give me a call. Call me. Write this down. Come on, get out a piece of paper. You can do it. It's not scary. It's 877-876-5227. Call me. Oh, you did? I'm so happy. Hi, caller.
Hello, this is Cynthia.
Cynthia! You know what? I'm going to call you my fan, just because I want to have one fan.
Okay.
I have worked on your chart.
Okay.
I'm prepared to talk to you about this, and hang on, I'm just looking for it. I've got a lot to talk to you about, so thanks for calling in.
Sure.
I knew you would. You know what, Cynthia? Let me tell you something. You have your son in the 12th house. And that's the house of Pisces. So if you ever need something and you need help, you always go to a Pisces person. So you have a Sagittarius sun, but it has kind of like a Pisces overtone.
Okay.
So one thing I think about you is that you're a very nice person.
Oh.
I'm looking at your chart, and you know what? You have a really nice chart.
Oh, good.
You told me you're an entrepreneur. Do you want to tell me what you are doing, or you don't want to?
Oh, no, I do. I create products to help humanity.
That have what?
To help humanity.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm shocked.
Sorry?
No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, I've been talking about these Pluto squares and people. You have a Pluto trine.
Ooh.
So you're not a control freak.
Okay.
You're not at all. In fact, you have... You know, your ascendant is also in Sag, so you're like, you call the double Sagittarius. But your Mercury's in Sag, your Moon is in Cancer. You know a little bit of this, though, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, because I think you know a little bit about astrology.
Right.
Yeah, and your Venus being in Capricorn, that usually means that you'll marry somebody important or older than you. It's a good placement for Venus because you don't like losers.
Okay.
Now, another interesting thing, you have Mars in Aquarius, and do you know that people that become astrologers always have Aquarius prominent in their first 5 personal planets?
Huh.
Have you thought about actually really doing astrology?
Actually, I do spiritual counseling.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense for you. It really does.
Mm.
You have a lot. In fact, you have Pluto in the eighth house, and that's the house of psychicness.
Okay.
And Pluto, you know, is the planet of deep thoughts and wisdom. And how old are you now? You're what?
24.
24?
54.
54.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I want to tell you about some things I see happening. I want to ask you about whether this is true or not. I see a lot of good things around your business. Like, things are going well with that.
Not yet.
That's true?
Really slow. Right.
But I do see, like, the bills getting paid. I don't think you're going to be out of money anytime soon. But here's what I'm wondering about. I feel like there's a possibility that you are having trouble with relationships in some way. Or is somebody around you ill by any chance?
No, but I don't have any relationship, like, significant other right now.
Is who, your mother and yourself?
Sorry?
You said, who are your
relationship? I said I don't have any significant relationship right now.
You don't?
No.
How about family members? How are they doing?
I think everyone's okay.
Okay. Let me just talk about some of the things that I see now. You're in between, by the way. Right now, you've just gotten out of some kind of bad things, and you currently don't really have anything too bad going on. And then I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen next year that I want you to watch out for.
Okay.
Now, the thing that you just came from, and this was probably 6 months, a little bit further back than that, was working long hours, and actually what it says is no social life, but it says no social life due to the fact that you're working long hours. Does that make any sense?
No social life is correct.
Okay, good.
Working long hours, just different. I'm working several different jobs. On top of
Well, that's what that's talking about. Now,
right.
That will be over pretty soon.
Okay,
where you have a little more time for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a bad time in your life. It's just that you seem to be so busy. It's not really that you don't have a social life. You don't even have time for a social life.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So that's just what's happening in your chart.
Okay.
You really can't fight the things in your chart. When your chart says these things happen, a lot of times, it's better just to kind of go with them. You can fight them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sometimes better not to.
Okay.
It's a waste of energy. So you just wait until things move around, and that one's going to move around in a little bit. The other thing I want to ask you, if you feel like you've been exploited by other people or you're having difficulty saying no to people.
No, that's not occurring.
Now, this would have been, again, about 6 months ago or maybe a little bit longer, because this one's over. This one's not happening anymore.
Okay. Saying no to people or what? Being exploited?
Or feeling like people are exploiting you or they're using you or you're giving more than they're giving.
No, I think that happened like a couple years ago.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. And then the final one that, again, is no longer in place, no longer happening, is the possibility that someone has a personal possession of yours. Is that true?
Personal possession.
Somebody has something of yours that you want back or something like that?
My former husband and I have a property issue that should be resolved soon, I hope.
Okay. Well, it should, because that one's over.
Oh, that's over?
That is definitely over.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that should be resolved soon.
Yeah, so that'll allow for the resolution of that.
Okay.
But while that aspect is in place, it will be something that's hard to resolve.
Oh, it will be?
Yeah, well, it was.
Oh, it was hard to resolve.
It was. During the time this aspect was going on. Remember, these have been over for a while now.
Okay.
They're no longer in place.
Okay.
So, you know, they're over. Now you're moving on to the new ones, which are not going to happen, by the way, until April of next year.
Okay.
So let's just look at what's going on right now. Being this, you are really a high degree of, you have a rising sign that's 29 Sagittarius.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is your 12th house is almost, you know, it's entirely Sagittarius.
Okay.
So you've had Pluto in your 12th house, and I want to talk to you about what that means.
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
I know.
Oh my goodness! When you told me last week about this, I thought about it. I thought she is absolutely right, and I talked to three other Sagittarians, and they're saying the same thing.
I know. Haven't we been through hell and back?
Oh my!
I know. It started like 1995.
Yeah.
It started in 1995, but not only you have it. First of all, it conjuncts your sun when it goes into your sign, when it's in Sagittarius. But it also picks on one of the houses in your chart.
Okay.
And yours is, because you're a 12th house sun, yours was in the 12th house. And by the way, mine is getting ready to, when it goes, I have a Capricorn 12th house. So when Pluto moves to Capricorn, I'm going to go through this. And I want to tell you, I don't like the definition of this at all. You want to hear what the definition of Pluto in the 12th house is? Well, the 12th house is considered the house of self-undoing.
Self-undoing. Okay.
In other words, if you're going to do anything that's really stupid and you really shouldn't have done it, it sometimes is associated with the 12th house, you know, like something where you just didn't make a good decision. During this time, this is why I'm looking at this and thinking, oh, my God, because it's getting ready to go on my 12th house. It's a complete rebuilding of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're giving spiritual advice to other people, I would stake my life on the fact that you're also spiritually rebuilding yourself on some level.
Mm-hmm.
That you learn as much from your clients as your clients learn from you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It seems like when they bring things up, it's stuff that I need to hear.
Exactly.
And I'm very humble to that, and I'm very open to that. And so, you know, we're both in this to learn.
You're
from
in it
other.
Together. Yeah. No, I agree with it. It happens to me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what you learn from your clients.
Right.
I adore my clients. They do bring so much to my life and to my understanding of myself. Because we're never through working on ourselves.
Oh, I know.
However,
wait a minute. You said the 12th house now. My son is in the 12th house. Is that what you're saying?
Your natal son.
My natal son.
The one you were born with. Is, I think, what you're 12 degree sun, and then your rising sign is 29. So that's your first house, 29 Sag.
Okay.
So that puts your sun back into the 12th house.
Okay.
And that's true for most people that have Capricorn rising. Sagittarius will be their 12th house. So this also applies to most Capricorn people.
Okay.
They've had Capricorn rising, by the way, not Capricorn people. Capricorn rising people have had Pluto in their 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Pluto in your 12th house and conjunct your sun.
Yay.
So it's like a double hit.
Oh, my goodness. I don't like it.
But keep in mind, it's passing. And you've probably really grown, and you're really better for having gone through it.
Uh-huh.
I know, even though it's no fun. And remember, feel sorry for me, because I'm getting ready to have it.
Oh, my.
I'm getting it, because I'm an 11th house sun.
Uh-huh.
So it hit me in my 11th house, which is my friends, every one of which I'd like to kill, because that's what happens when it hits your 11th house. You have to redefine the values of friendship.
Okay.
But now it goes into my 12th house, I'm going to have to look at myself.
Okay.
I don't want to do that too much. Okay, so it forces you to confront yourself. It forces you to confront your unconsciously motivated actions. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It does. And it activates a hidden side of your nature and might even help you control it. It's also the house of secret enemies. Did you find out anybody during that time that was an enemy that you hadn't anticipated would be one?
Oh, I had an ex-partner.
Really? That
yeah,
turned out not to be your best friend.
She took money she wasn't supposed to take.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Almost 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you work that out?
Actually not. Within myself, I worked it out. I just let it go.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what? Good. Because
it was very hard. I had people telling me I should go to court, I should do this, I should do that. And I just said, you know, she has enough karma to deal with, and I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah, you know what? What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
You know, God will punish her. You don't really have to do that.
Right.
I can't tell you whether you should go to court or not. I don't really know.
Oh, it's over now.
But I do know that you're moving into a better place.
Oh, thank goodness.
You're moving into such a better place that all those things that were bothering you will just, they will fall away of their own weight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have to do anything about that. But this is one of the things that happened to you. And anybody with, you know, the 12th house Pluto, and then, you know, obviously the sun being there too, will have some, might have this happen. So you're not the only one out there. There are a few other people.
Mm-hmm.
These Capricorn. Do you know anybody with Capricorn rising?
No, I don't.
Okay, because those people would have had Pluto in the 12th also.
Okay.
And then it's going to go to people with Aquarius rising like myself, because that'll put Capricorn in my 12th house. That happens the first of the year. So I can't wait. Oh, got another caller, but I'm not through with Cynthia.
But at least you're aware,
Cynthia,
of this.
I'm going to do your whole chart for you.
Sorry.
Hang on, caller, because let me just... Here. Okay, so I want to go into what's going to happen in April of 2008.
Okay.
You have run into a time in your life where you're hitting some aspects that you're not going to particularly love. Now, remember, by April, you're rid of the Pluto thing, so the deep, deep, heavy stuff is gone.
Okay.
But since, you know, if you were my client, what I usually do is give you a reading for a year.
Uh-huh.
From the time you come to see me. So I want to tell you about this because this is within the year.
Okay.
I'm just going to warn you about some things that might happen in April of 2008. Mm-hmm. After Pluto has moved out of your sign, you're done with that. That heavy, heavy, traumatic, horrible thing is over. But again, it reads a little bit like the things I was talking about because you had Venus in conjuncting your Pluto. Now you're going to have Mars in conjuncting your Saturn. And what I'm wondering here, you might be forced to learn some new methods. Does that make any sense to you?
Forced to learn new, I don't know.
Well, think about this, because this is in the future. If you have a piece of paper, maybe write it down.
Right.
And I have a few clients who have this. It's called ambitions that are hard to define. And what I find is when I have clients that have this aspect, they get a little frustrated. They're not sure they're doing exactly what they want to be doing. Now, this is in April of 2008, so it's a little far, you know, it's a little bit away.
Okay.
But you might find yourself, you know, not being really sure you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. It's not a terrible aspect. When you have an inconjunct, it's a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a terrible thing. It's not a square. It's not an opposition. Just something that where you need an adjustment. Okay, and then you also have Mars inconjunct your Pluto, and that's where you do something knowing you really don't like it. So you might keep that in mind for April. You do something and like you get into some business or you make a commitment and then you really know deep down you never wanted to do it and then you want out of it. It's like I said, it's not horrible things that are happening.
Right.
Overall, I think with your car, also by just one more thing and then I'm going to let you go, is that in numerology, you're in a 1 year. So this is a new beginning for you. So something about your life is beginning.
Okay.
New this year. There are 9 years in a cycle for numerology because we only use the single-digit numbers. So you have finished the 9, that was last year, and this year you're in a 1. Meaning, the only thing you really have to do in the 1 is make a decision about how you want the next 9 years to play out. So 1 year is a very important year. It's a year of decisions.
Okay.
Otherwise, sweetheart, I think you have you are a very, very lovely person. And
well,
I'm sure you're good at your job.
Thank you.
You are not mean. You are not controlling. You're extremely kind and very sensitive with a moon in Cancer. So people can hurt your feelings. You've been very sweet to me.
You're very sweet.
When somebody asks you
we
for help, I know you
help. We just need to get you more people to listen on Friday nights.
No, I know.
I have no
is
social
it?
Life.
Yeah, I know. That's what do you think I'm doing here? What do you think? Yeah, no. But I really appreciate your phone calls. You've been really wonderful to call in.
Oh,
thank you.
So, and I'll send my friends you're going to be on every Friday night.
You know, I did have someone email 400 people on MySpace.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that that's especially working out.
No, I think that's a good way. I have like 300 or 400 also on MySpace.
Oh, do you?
So I can do that.
Well, I am sure that any help you would give me, I would totally appreciate.
Okay.
And Cynthia, if you want to call this number, I will send you your chart.
Oh, okay.
But you have to call the not free number. Okay. Because I don't want you to have to do this on the air. Tell somebody what your address is.
Right.
Call these lovely people at bbsradio.com at 530. Do you have something to write with?
Right.
530.
Uh-huh.
876.
Uh-huh.
3222.
Okay.
If you give them your address, I will send you a chart, and I'm just very, very grateful to have you as a caller.
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to go to commercial right now. My caller's still around. I'll take my caller when I come back.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Having problems with romance or how about money? Wouldn't it be nice to know when those great ideas you have will actually work? You need Extrology, the art of timing the events in your life. Celebrities aren't smarter than you. They just have better timing or a personal astrologer. Please take a look around my website, and don't forget, each week there will be a new free astrology lesson.
Hi, everybody. We're back. God, it was really great to talk to Cynthia, I can't tell you. I know some of you are out there listening. I would love to hear from you. I wish you would call me. I've only gotten one caller this evening. You know, you should pick up the phone and call me, just to be nice to me. 877-876-5227. Remember, I'll try to answer any question that you have about your chart. Love to hear about anybody with power problems. Any kind of power problems, because I'm kind of been a big old Pluto thing myself lately, and I want to know what is happening with other people. Even though I do have lots of clients and lots of people around me, I'd still love to hear from you. I mentioned that I might talk about what I don't like about this movie, The Secret. First of all, it's a really good movie, and it's really well done, and I do like it, and there is such a thing as the law of attraction. You can put out energy and get what you want. It happens all the time. People get things that they want. What bothers me about this movie is that if you want something too much, and I have seen this over and over and over, and I know some of you have experienced this, when you want something too much, that is the last thing you are going to get. It just won't happen. So there's a law of attraction, yes. But there's also a law of non-attraction when you yearn for things, when you want things, when you think about things too much, you might as well be telling them not to come to you. So the trick with the law of attraction, in my mind, is that you put the thought out there and you let it go. Don't get overly obsessed about something that you want. That seems to be like it'll kill it faster than any other thing that can kill it. One of the books that I read when I was first starting and getting into spirituality was this book called Science of the Mind by Ernest Holmes. And this man has a really good grasp on the laws of the universe and how things work. And he talks about the law of attraction. In fact, there's a chapter in his book about this law. And again, it's a tricky law. It's not just as easy as just wanting something. It's not just as easy as putting something on a bulletin board and saying that you want that. One of the things he suggests is that you attract to yourself things that you are. So if you feel rich, then you're going to be much more successful in attracting riches. And if you're a good friend, you're going to be much more successful in attracting friends. So you want to sort of embody the thing that you're asking for. You want to sort of, in some ways, imagine that you already have it. That it's a very natural and comfortable thing for you to have. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I notice it all the time that people that win lotteries, a lot of time, having a lot of money is a very foreign concept to them. And consequently, when they win the money, they don't really know what to do with it. They have the money, but they don't know how to handle it. So if you're asking, and a lot of people are asking for money and wealth, and it's fine. There's no law in the universe that says you can't ask for those kinds of things. You also want to be ready to handle it. Don't ask for something you're not prepared to handle, because if you do, it may be part of your undoing. And that's, again, a 12th house issue, the house of self-undoing. So any of you that have 12th house sons will know what I'm talking about. It's easy to do something that isn't in your best interest, that may seem like it totally and completely is in your best interest. So think about that when you're asking for the thing you want. Are you ready to have it? Because, you know, for a long time, I didn't want to win a lottery. I really knew that it would be a burden to have that much money. It took me a long time and a lot of growing up before I felt like I could handle the money, or I would know what I wanted to do if I had money, or I would know how to spend it. Because it's really interesting how many people get it and lose it very quickly after. Another concept that Ernest Holm talks about that I think is interesting, and it's one of his sayings, is to the man who can perfectly practice inaction, all things are possible. Now, this is also a concept called feminine energy. Masculine energy is when you take an action to make something happen. Feminine energy is when you just will something into existence. You can sit in your house and have something happen without taking any action at all. And sometimes it's actually more effective. Like, if you ever find yourself, I found myself this a few years back, where I was looking for a job, and it seemed like the more I looked and the harder I looked, the less close I was coming to a job. I couldn't get even an 8-hour job talking on the phone. And if there's anything I can do, it's talk on the phone. But I couldn't even get that job. They didn't want me for that job. So I think in some ways I was trying too hard. You can actually get to the point you're trying too hard. And what you need to do is step back and take no action other than asking for the thing you want, letting it go, not concentrating on it too much, and it'll come. It's amazing. It actually, things like that do happen. The other thing is, and this I also had happen for a long, long time in my life. I didn't care about money. I kind of disliked money, I think, because possibly my father was a little too interested in it. But now, as I'm getting older, it's actually something I can't live without. And I noticed that when I started thinking about it, the more I thought about it, the easier it was to bring it into my life. Now, I'm not talking about obsessing about it. I'm just talking about thinking about it. So Ernest Holm says, successful people think about success. So you want to think about the thing that you're trying to bring into your life. If it's a relationship, then you want to think about relationships. You don't want to demand that they come in. You don't want to force somebody to be in a relationship with you. You want to allow the thing to come in. You don't even necessarily have to take an action. You can practice inaction. So again, the thing I don't like about this movie, The Secret, and the book, The Secret, even though I think overall it's good and there is a law of attraction and it does work, is when you become too obsessed with the idea. I find that people that want things too much will not get them. And I think the reason is that superficial things are not meant to make us happy. We're supposed to be happy whether we have money or we don't have money. We can have money, but it isn't supposed to be the thing that makes us happy. We're supposed to be happy because deep down we're wonderful people and we deserve to be happy. So that's why it's important that we don't ask for it too much or think about it too much in an obsessive kind of desperate way. You want to just embody it, make it a part of you. The same thing goes true for friends. If you want to have a certain type of friend, you want to imagine that type of friend in your life. You want to imagine yourself being that type of friend. You want to think about what would be the ideal friendship. And it's okay to think about it a lot, just not obsess about it a lot. And I know that's kind of a fine line, and that's why life is hard, because everything is kind of a fine line. All things work, but you have to kind of get exactly on the right path with life and in sync with life to make them really, really work. Another thing that doesn't hurt at all, particularly if you're dealing with people, is to try to love everybody. That's including the people that irritate you and that make you crazy. Try to find something about them to love, because negative feelings that you're putting out are not going to be doing you any good at all in any way. So we should all try to find something good about all those people that are making us totally crazy and that we want to kill. I'm almost out of time here. I have 5 more minutes. Again, I would love to have one more phone call. We can't have Cynthia have to be the only caller every week. If you guys don't start calling me, I'm going to probably get discouraged. You can reach me at 877-876-5227. Come on, there's one more person out there that has something to say. Or I, even, you know what, if you have a comment on what's going on in the world today, I'd be happy to hear that. I'd be happy to hear anything that you might want to talk about. That's 877-876-5227. And if you don't call, tell your friends to listen maybe next time, and somebody else will call. Remember, I'll do your astrology chart. I'll make a prediction for you. I'll tell you what I think might be going to happen to you. And as I said, you can ask me about anything. If you want to call in with a boyfriend, if you have his birthday, even better if you have his birthday and his time. But I can actually work with just the birthday. If you have a boss that's giving you trouble, call me about that. Anybody that, as long as you know their birthday, I need to know that one thing. I need a birthday. Other than that, you can call in just about anything. Also, yes, I said comments on world events. Right now, we've been talking about Paris Hilton and the attack that happened in London again today, the terrorists. And again, I'm concerned about London. I'm concerned that, you know, they will not be seeing the last of this. I think it's entirely possible that they're going to have more problems than they have now. The last thing I want to talk about is, besides this law of attraction, I want to talk about the need for forgiveness. Just really quickly, let's go through that, because without that, again, you can try to attract all the things you want to, but if you're holding any negative thoughts, those thoughts will keep you from having these good things come in. They act a little bit like a barrier to your life. So if there's anyone that's hurting you, forgive them, not for their sake, but for yours. You don't need it. You don't need to have any negativity from them. They've probably already been negative enough to you. Let it go. Let it flow. Particular anger I find, you know, there's a movie called The Upside of Anger. Well, I don't see any upside to anger at all. However, when you're angry, it is really, really hard to let it go. It is for me. I have a really tough time with anger. But I find that every time I do let it go, that I just don't go there. Hi, caller.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
My name is Edwin. Hi.
Who are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
Oh, good. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Speak up a little bit.
Hi, is that better?
Oh, that's way better. Now, tell me what's your question. We only have 2 more minutes.
Sure. I'd like to know if I could get some career advice. I'm just interested in so many areas. I was wondering if it's possible.
Why didn't you call me sooner? I'm almost out of time. Give me your birthday.
February 20, 1962.
February 20, 1952. Okay. You know what? Do you know I used to work on a psychic hotline?
No, I didn't know that.
So I can be very quick.
Oh, okay.
You know something I want to tell about you that I don't know if you know? Do you know how artistic you are?
Possibly.
No, you are. I'm
not
wrong about this. This is a very, very simple concept, and it never doesn't work. You also are a little bit selfish, but you know what? I find that artists are
Jamaica, and angel caught my eye. Her name was Lydia.